This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with NewsWest for Sunday the 13th of February 2022. NewsWest is all about amateur radio, and today is the contesting edition with news of contests coming up soon and not so soon. We talk in depth about preparing for the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. And of course we've got Roy with the helpline, the growing popularity of VK90ABC, and another special event call sign coming up in March, VK80LAN, celebrating 80 years of the Avro Lancaster. The studio team this week is Mike, VK6KMS, Roy, VK6, X-Ray Victor, and Andrew, VK6AS, and I'm Bob, VK6POP, the news producer. Let's get on with it.
The John Moyle Memorial Field Day is an annual event, held on the third weekend in March. This year it's on the 19th and 20th. John Moyle pioneered the use of portable and mobile radios in Australia for coordination of firefighting efforts. This contest encourages portable operation, and the point system rewards portable operators and those who take the trouble to work them. Non-portable or home stations may also enter the contest. In a nutshell, working portable means operating away from fixed infrastructure. Sitting in a deck chair in your backyard, using a battery to power your radio that's connected to your ruddy great tri-band antenna atop your mast, isn't portable operation. If you were to pack up your ruddy great tri-bander and temporarily erect it in the local park and operate from there, you're operating portable. That means portable antenna and portable power supply. A portable power supply would be a battery, solar, generator in any workable combination. You can go portable in your own backyard if you follow the definitions of portable. You can't tap into existing infrastructure. If you've never worked portable before, what better time to take a leap of faith and plan now for your portable station in the John Moyle contest?
Welcome to Portable Operations 101. In this lesson, I might bore you witless, unless, of course, you're faintly interested in portable amateur radio operations. Firstly, you need to know that there's no single way to successfully work portable. There are many ways to skin a cat, so they say, and there are many ways to achieve the goals of portable operation. So, what are these goals, and how do you measure success? The first goal is to be able to set up a working amateur radio station in the field. There are many tasks making up this goal. However, first, let's just think about how you will measure success, because aiming for a successful outcome will determine the tasks. Next, and this is very important, your portable radio station must be heard and be able to hear. So let's get down to that bit, because I reckon anyone with just a little bit of amateur radio experience can set up a radio and power it with a generator, batteries, etc. That's not rocket science. The most crucial part of your portable station, in terms of hearing and being heard, is your antenna. Assuming you're taking a wire antenna of some sort, the best, most expensive antenna, or the most perfectly built and tuned dipole or whatever you've made, won't work very well when it's not up high enough. No matter how much energy or money you've put into your antenna, the thing that will make it work the best is free. Height is might. So think about how you'll get that antenna 10, 15, or even more meters above the ground. Unless you carry a portable mast, you're going to have to employ some tricks to get the height. Some people use a squid pole and can get a lightweight wire about 10 meters off the ground, but not much more. The secret, I think, is trees. I use a fishing rod to cast a line over a tree and pull a light cord back over the tree. Substantial heights can be achieved this way. Some people fly drones over the tree and drop a line over it. I haven't seen it done myself, but I'm told that it works a treat. Later in the program, we'll talk about which antenna to use.
We suggested earlier that you could take your ruddy great tri-bander to a nice park or bush location and erect it for portable work. Believe me, it's been done, but what a job setting it up. Closer to reality is a wire antenna, hopefully slung up high enough to do what it does best, transmit and receive radio signals. So what's the best antenna to take? There's no doubt about that a well-tuned half-wave dipole at a good height will serve you well on the band it's designed for. But hang on, that's six bands on the HF part of the spectrum. That means finding the space for six dipoles to be held up high or changing antennas as you do. Some people achieve that with linked dipoles. There is a better way. You can cover all of the HF bands with one antenna. There are wire antennas that you can make or buy that operate on all of the HF bands, albeit with the use of an antenna tuning unit. They're actually matching devices, but that's another story. One popular antenna is the G5RV, which you can make or buy. It works well if you can get the twin feed line vertical and the junction with the coaxial cable above the ground. The further, the better. The G5RV is a type of doublet antenna. If you can get your hands on a twin feed, parallel feed line, or ladder line, whatever you call it, you can make some other interesting multi-band antennas. You will, however, need a tuner that can handle ladder lines. A simple doublet, which is a dipole-style antenna with a total length basically as long as you can make it and a bit over 40 meters, does well. The parallel feed line can be as long as you can handle and may need trimming a bit if your tuner can't match it. You can vary the doublet by bringing the ends toward each other, forming a V. The radiation becomes directional along the axis of the V, and there is gain where the legs are one wavelength or more. There are more wire antenna options. However, the last one I'll discuss is the end-fed half-wave. These work a treat and are relatively easy to build. You'll have lots of fun practicing and experimenting with wire antennas, and remember that your failed experiments can be dismantled and repurposed into another antenna.
Last week, we floated the idea of staging an event similar to the Super Springtime event of 2010, where a portable station was located at the Royal Show and a special event call sign was activated at several locations. We asked for a club or an individual or a group of individuals to poke their heads above the parapet and offer to organise the event. Nobody has offered yet, but hey, it's only been a week. Do you reckon it might be a good idea? The suggestion came up casually in a conversation, and we thought it might be a good one to put to you mob out there. So please chew on the idea. It would only take one or two people to drive it, and a whole lot of other people and clubs to participate, and it would be a resounding success. Whoever pulls it together can rely on support from WA Amateur Radio News for promotion, and perhaps more. We're happy to help where we can. So to get the ball rolling, send us an email, newswest@vk6.net.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Hi everyone, this is Mark Dixon, VK6 Echo Zulu from the West Australian VHF Group. Next month, for all of March, we're coordinating QSOs from VK80LAN, that's Victor Kilo 80 Lima Alpha November. It's a commemorative call sign issued to recognise the 80 years since the Avro Lancaster aircraft participated in Allied Air Force engagements in World War II, and you could be part of this celebration too. All the details are on QRZ for VK80LAN, that's qrz.com/lookup/VK80LAN. I'll mention that again at the end of this news item. The Lancaster was manufactured by the British aircraft manufacturer Avro. It's a four-engined heavy bomber adopted by UK's Royal Air Force during the Second World War, with substantial participation from the Canadian Air Force and Australia's RAAF. Some Lancaster aircraft still exist. There's one here in WA at the RAFA, that's RAAFA Aviation Heritage Museum in Bull Creek, and there's another one in the Australian War Museum in Canberra. There's also some in Canada and the UK. This commemorative event for Lancaster aircraft is being simultaneously partnered in the UK by GB80LAN and in Canada by callsign VE80LAN. This event's ably supported here in West Australia by Reg Bagshaw, VK8BQQ, and his Flying Pig Net, which you can hear on air each week. we're working to have the Australian part of the celebration launched at 0800 UTC from inside the Lancaster at the RAAFA Museum in Bull Creek. If you'd like to host VK80 LAN during its operation in March, look for an available space on the schedule on the WAVHF Group website, then contact the coordinators for the event to request the time, band, mode that you'd like to host. QSLs will be ably supported by Tim Beaumont, M0URX, and his United Radio QSL Management Bureau. Questions and comments on this can be sent to Dennis Brown, VK6AKR, Robert McAtia, VK6WHO, or Mark Dixon, VK6EZ, at the West Australian VHF Group. Once again, details of the event and how to participate are at QRZ, that's http://qrz.com/lookup/VK80LAN. 73 is from me, Mark, VK6 Echo Zulu. I hope to catch you on air in March from VK80 LAN.
The CQ Worldwide 160 Meter Single Sideband Contest is on in a couple of weeks. It runs from 2200 Zulu February 25 to 2200 Zulu February 27. The object is for amateurs around the world to contact other amateurs in as many US states, Canadian provinces, and countries as possible, utilizing the 160 meter band on phone. I've never worked international DX on 160 meters. Have you? The hallowed band usage is 1810 to 2000 kHz in ITU Region 1 and 1800 to 2000 kHz in ITU Regions 2 and 3. We're Region 3. All entrants are encouraged to spread out as much as possible, obeying frequency restrictions and power limits for their own country. Any violations of the ITU band use may result in disqualification. If you do have a go at this one, please let us know how you got on, the good, the bad, and the ugly of it.
Who knows what we'll look like in a few months' time. However, we can't abandon what we're doing forever. We must adapt. I'm talking about Perth Tech here. We've set a tentative date for Perth Tech 2022, and that's the 21st of May. We've already told you that, but I'm just reminding you. We've had to cancel Perth Tech for 2 years in a row because of COVID and because we were hanging out for a face-to-face event. We're determined not to be disappointed again in 2022, and we're considering developing plans A and B alongside each other. Plan A, of course, is the face-to-face event at a venue yet to be named. Plan B will consist of a recorded presentations made to an online audience with Q&A after each presentation. To be prepared for either plan to become a reality, we'll be asking every presenter to pre-record their presentation. We can offer support and our limited skills and resources to help presenters prepare their item. If you've been considering being a presenter at Perth Tech, please don't be put off by the prospect of becoming a movie star. I can assure you that you won't be faced with the prospect of becoming rich and famous. Not on my watch, anyway. So we need a bit more time to put the nitty-gritty together. Then we can formally seek expressions of interest from potential presenters. Meanwhile, everyone, mark your diary. We'll do May the 21st, no matter what. We'll post notices at the website vk6.net.
Hello, this is Chris, VK3QB. A couple of weeks ago, Amateur Radio commenced an on-air campaign to help celebrate the ABC's 90th anniversary with fellow amateur radio operators across Australia and around the world. The special event call sign has been very popular, with almost 1,500 contacts across 66 countries using sideband, CW and FT8 in its first week of operation. The website has been visited by about 1,400 people and word of the event is spreading. Last week, Paul, VK5PAS, was interviewed by ABC Riverland broadcaster Matt Stevens. Paul really is an outstanding ambassador for our hobby, and you can listen to the interview by heading to the website vk90abc.net and following the link ABC Interview. VK6 Local, Dan, VK6 India, India, was scheduled to use VK90 ABC last weekend, but as many listeners are only too well aware, there have been some ferocious and life-threatening fires in the southwest of VK6. Consequently, Dan's efforts were thwarted, and he only made a small number of FT8 contacts. I've spoken with Dan since, and he is safe with no damage to property or life. Very good news indeed. Dan will have another go with VK90 ABC when the dust settles. We're planning more events and news releases in the coming weeks and months to help celebrate Auntie's 90th, and of course, promote the hobby of amateur radio. If you'd like to be part of this special event and use the call sign, just head to the website www.vk90abc.net, read the policy views, and then click the Book Now link. If you have any questions or would like more information, please drop me an email at info@vk90abc.net. Everyone is welcome to apply. Help us celebrate the ABC's 90th anniversary and promote amateur radio. 73.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
The RSGB Commonwealth Contest is on the 12th to the 13th of March 2022, beginning and ending at 1000 UTC. The Radio Society of Great Britain, RSGB, created the British Empire Radio Union, the BERU, in the late 1920s to support radio amateurs in the Empire. In 1930, a New Zealand radio amateur suggested that a week should be set aside as an Empire Radio Week, and that this should be held in February 1931. This was the first BERU contest. The contest proved to be very popular, and has been held annually since then. It became known as the Commonwealth Contest in 1973. The objective of this contest is for stations to achieve a good score by working as many stations and bonuses as possible. This unique contest provides a great opportunity to work Commonwealth DX for all participants. Please note that this is a CW-only contest. You can find the rules at the RSGB website, which is rsgb.org.
The VKQRP Club runs QRP contests on a formal and informal basis throughout the year. These contests give you a chance to test your QRP operating skills, your QRP equipment, and to meet other QRP operators in a fun and challenging way. The QRP Hours contest runs from time to time during the year. It's named because of the way it is structured, with 1 hour dedicated to CW and digital modes, followed by 1 hour of single sideband. The QRP Hours contest varies throughout the year, operating with slightly different conditions, predominantly what bands are permitted, conditions permitting. The next QRP Hours contest has been scheduled for Sunday the 9th of April, from 1000 hours to 1200 hours Zulu on 80 metres for the first hour on CW and the second hour on single sideband. So please have a look at the contest rules on the VKQRP Club website. The aim of the contest is to make as many contacts in a 1 hour period using your choice of mode. The contest is open to all amateur radio operators. It can be a bit of a challenge for us here at WA getting a word in edgewise, as there are so many amateurs within ground wave distance of each other in the eastern states, whereas mostly we're trying hard to work 80 metre DX, but it's always worth a go, and it's only an hour long, and you could have an hour of fun.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
You've heard from Chris just now about VK90ABC, which is a special event call sign to celebrate the 90th anniversary of Australia's national broadcaster, the ABC. This special event call sign has been on air for only 2 weeks and has generated a lot of interest and has proven popular, with some 1,500 contacts having already been logged and more than 10,000 lookups on QRZ. It's a good example of a positive effort to get people on air and, very importantly, to promote amateur radio. Chris told you about the interview on the ABC Riverland with Paul. Paul proved to be a great ambassador for amateur radio. More interviews are planned. Today, you heard about another special event call sign coming up, VK80LAN, celebrating the 80th anniversary of the Lancaster bomber. Have you seen one? There's one at the Air Force Museum in Bull Creek. It's one of only two in Australia. So, folks, get behind these two special event call signs. They are good for amateur radio. Both are listed at QRZ.com and both sites have instructions about how to reserve a time slot and get involved. What a great idea for a club activity, especially those clubs with their own shack. How about it? Let's get the hobby out of the armchair. We heard a short while ago of the death of Mike VK3 Alpha Victor Victor, the author and developer of the VK Contest Logger software. We're not yet aware if any succession plans were made for the ongoing maintenance and development of this very useful piece of software. Clearly, it will remain useful until contest rules change and an update is needed. There was a question raised that VK Contest Logger may not function correctly with the new 2x1 call signs, so I decided to experiment with it to see what happens. I configured it for two Aussie contests, the RD contest and the John Moyle, and with each configuration, I logged entries with 2x1 call signs on the HF band 6 metres, 2 metres and 70 centimetres, including Maidenhead locators of both the contest station and the logged stations. It turns out that Mike had already done some work on the 2x1s because VK Contest Logger accepted the call signs into the log. After making a handful of entries, I viewed the log and scores appeared to be correct. I then generated the log for export or uploading and again, everything appeared to be in order. So it appears that VK Contest Logger is, for the time being, still okay to use. However, bear in mind that I only checked it against the configuration for the John Moyle and the Remembrance Day contests. VK Contest Logger is an excellent logging choice for the Aussie contest and especially for new and casual contesters. And just bear in mind, whenever you're going to use it for a contest, make sure you've got the latest version. News West is compiled and produced by WA Amateur Radio News, an amateur radio club incorporated in Western Australia. We take care to ensure that our material is factual and correct and are happy to receive any evidence that an error has occurred. We solicit content from external contributors and reserve editorial privilege about what is accepted for the broadcasts. We've not rejected anything yet. Our editorial policy is that terms must be about or relevant to amateur radio and particularly of interest to Western Australian amateurs. Our website is vk6.net and we can be contacted by email to newswest@vk6.net.
The objective of the ARRL Single Sideband DX contest is to encourage American and Canadian stations to expand their knowledge of DX propagation on the HF and MF bands, improve operating skills, and improve station capability by creating a competition in which DX stations may contact only American and Canadian stations. One contest period is CW only, and the other is phone only. Use only the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10 meter bands. American and Canadian amateurs work as many DX stations in as many DXCC entities as possible. DX stations work as many American and Canadian stations in as many of the 48 contiguous states and provinces as possible. The dates are, for CW, the third full weekend in February, that's the 19th to the 20th, 2022, and for phone, the first full weekend in March, March the 5th to the 6th this year. The contest period begins at midnight UTC Saturday and runs through to 23:59 UTC Sunday. You can find all the rules on the ARRL website.
Earlier this week, the ARRL announced their new worldwide digital contest, which will debut on June the 4th, running through to June the 6th. All non-RTTY modes are permitted. RTTY will be the sole mode for the ARRL's RTTY Roundup, which continues to take place in January. This will be an HF to 6 metre event with single operator and multi-single entry categories. Power categories will be QRP, 5 watts or less, and low power, 100 watts maximum output. The exchange for the worldwide digital contest will be a station's 4-character grid square designation. Stations may work each other once per band, regardless of digital mode. The participants will earn 1 point for each contact plus 1 point for each 500 kilometres between stations. So a contact between stations 1,000 kilometres apart would be worth 3 points. And the total score is the total contact point, so there are no multipliers. That will be an interesting addition to the contesting scene. I like the distance-based loading on the scores as it encourages participants to work stations further afield. We could well use a similar idea here in Australia to level the playing field.
Next week's News West is the History Edition. We've got some ideas already for a couple of items, however, we'd love to hear from you. History isn't only about the distant past, it's also about telling the story of the more recent past. Do you have any stories about your exploits in amateur radio? Send them in, either in writing or as a recording, or both. We'll add your story to this or a future News West history program. Next week, we'll include some more stories about the history of the ABC, and by listening, you'll understand the common beginnings of amateur radio and broadcast radio. We're delving into the common histories of these two branches of radio as an adjunct to the amateur radio activation of the VK90 ABC special event callsign, marking the 90th anniversary of the Australian Broadcasting Commission.
Good morning, this is Roy VK6X-Ray Victor with this week's helpline, the 13th of February 2022. I have today a vertical antenna, it's a 17-foot vertical antenna, with a tunable coil allowing it to go between 10 metres and 80 metres. And it is a Wolf River Silver Bullet 1000 full-size coil on that, with a radial kit and 2x24 extension, that's 24-inch extension rods, a megapod wide base, and an MFJ1979 17-foot whip antenna, price $450. You may collect in Perth from the suburb of Wembley, and you may contact Kurt, VK6 Kilo Charlie, any further detail on that, on 0414-500-959. Again, 0414-500-959. And the next item is a repeat from last week. We have an ICOM IC7410HF 100-watt transceiver, good condition, power cable and manual, $950. It's an ICOM IC7000HF VHF UHF 100-watt transceiver, good condition, power cable and manual included, $900. There's also a PowerTech 13.8-volt 20 to 22-amp power supply, $30. Contact Alistair for those items. Telephone number 0407 is 992335. Say again, 0407 992335. His email address is alphalimaindia_kilo010@hotmail.com. Again, it's alphalimaindia_kilo010@hotmail.com. And we still have, I have a box full of magazines, QST, 2013 to 2016, and AR magazines 2013 to 2019, and $30 a lot. There's also a Kenwood Tango Sierra 2000 X-ray in excellent condition. Serial number was given, manufactured 2011. It has upgrades to the finals and IF filters, comes with manual, etc., no box, and firmware V112. Asking $1,600 for that Tango Sierra 2000 X-ray. Next, we have a 10-meg clock. It's a GPS discipline oscillator with four ports using Thimble Thunderbolt, complete with antenna and cable, $350. There's a Diamond Sierra X-Ray 400 SWR meter, extra condition, $120. Contact Andy, VK6 Oscar X-Ray. His telephone number is 0448-028414. 0448-028414. And that wraps up the list for today. If you have any items for next week, please contact me. The email address is victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. Until next week, 7-3 for me.
Thanks for listening. If at any time you're not able to hear us on air, we're also available on podcast and MP3 download from our website, vk6.net. There's no reason not to hear News West, unless, of course, you don't want to. Don't forget to hang around for callbacks after the broadcast, and if you're listening via another mode, you can record your callback on our website, vk6.net. Thanks to the team this week. Jeff's still on a break, and thanks to the broadcasters, relay operators and callback takers. You're all part of a well-oiled machine. I'm Bob, VK6PIP, the News West producer, wishing you good DX And believe me, there's plenty around, and all you have to do to join in the DX feast is to get on air and make some noise.